Hello, I am Leanne Durand, guest host of the Well Collab, a podcast where we deliver education on feminine business principles to our amazing Well women. I'm a devoted witness and a trusted advisor, and every month on the Well Collab podcast, you will hear from women in our community sharing their truth, wisdom, knowledge, and lived experience based on their values and authenticity. We can't wait to engage with you further on these topics. May your voice be amplified so you can be seen, heard, and celebrated.
Well, can we start with actually just like how what's changed in you that you now are ready to...
Oh, you're now doing the interview. Interesting. So she's decided to become the interviewer and I'm the interviewee. Well, I was just going to actually start by telling you how much I admire you. Aww. So to start, I actually took Heather's public speaking course, the Deliver Your Best course. And I can say it has made such a big difference. Yeah, your course made a really big difference on my public speaking. I'm in a job where I have to do a fair amount of public speaking. And I remember when I first went into your course, I talked about how absolutely terrified I was. That was something, I was that person. I know there's like this thing, and I think you talk about it in the course, like what people fear the most, and it's like death, taxes, and public speaking or something. It's like, it's in the top three, right? There is like a list, and public speaking is right up there.
It's the number one fear in the world, actually. Now, I was just Googling it the other day because I thought, is it just the number one in the United States? And it's in the world. It's the number one fear.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, people fear that more than death. So
which
that
is
you...
great for me, actually, as a business person.
I remember when I took the course, we did discuss that. So, and I can almost see that because it is, I was one of those people where I had all those physiological symptoms. Yes. We had talked about that. And so what has changed? You just asked me that question. And the thing for me was recognizing that the physiological symptoms are just that. They are physiological symptoms. And I had somehow decided that if I'm going to be a good public speaker in whatever context, because I think what we're talking about today is getting your message across in a clear and concise way, whether it's with family members, whether it's board meetings, across social media, if you're in a networking event. And I think the thing was that I thought somehow that was going to stop for me to become a good public speaker. And I know one of the things that you taught me was that just recognizing that, naming it, and just accepting. Like, I thought at some point in my life, that's going to disappear, and then I'm going to be this fantastic public speaker. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, and I hope it has softened for you over time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Practice, of course, you know, and doing things a little bit more does help.
One of the things I've noticed, especially recently working with people, is this idea that people had about public speaking is that they hope they could sit back and observe and wait until they're ready and then step in and execute. And unfortunately, you learn by doing. And so you really got to fumble your way through it a little bit. And I think there's also this erroneous idea that good public speakers don't have visible nerves. And
that's so true.
Yes. And that is, and we do see, of course, we see some that we can't see their nerves, and they're probably excellent. Those are probably the paid speakers. But I don't think that idea is true. I think when someone is nervous and it's costing them something to communicate their message, but their message and the value that they want to share is more important than their nerves, then I think it actually makes what they're saying that much more valuable. Because we can see how much that it costs them to be able to share it. And we think about this when you see speeches where people tear up or cry, and or, you know, like there's that viral video of the kid where he's like at a wedding and he's like, thanks for marrying my sister and thanks for giving me a brother. And he starts crying. And, you know, if that kid just said, you know, thanks for giving me a brother. The only people who ever saw that speech would be the people at the wedding, right? So it was like the cost to him, like the vulnerability that he showed in order to share that message is what made it so, it gave it such a big impact.
So I think you're hitting on something here when you say that. I think it's all that idea that to be a good public speaker, you have to remove all emotion.
Yeah, and I would hate, like, who wants to actually see that? Who wants to see a public speaker that doesn't have any emotion or attachment or passion that's able to come through? I think the idea that people have is that they have to remove any sense of displaying what's going on internally. Like, it's unprofessional to be nervous. And if they were truly professional or if they were really good at this, they wouldn't experience those things. You know, the toughest, most rewarding and most honored experience that I've had and the most honored I've ever been to public speak was to MC my best friend's brother's funeral, who I had a wonderful relationship and probably
so tough.
One of the greatest women I've ever known in my life. And that was the most nervous I've ever been. Like I was lucky I was wearing a long dress because my one leg was vibrating. Like it was shaking uncontrollably. But at the same time, you know, I think that the way that I was able to serve her that day and how honored I was to be able to be in service of her meant so much. And so part of that was the cost of being so nervous because of wanting to do so well for her as well.
So that's that piece of like you have to care, right? You can't if you're so removed. If you're not connected, and you talk about that too, right? If you being connected with your audience. So if you're so disconnected, that's a piece that I think we get wrong, is we think that we have to be really removed, not care, mm-hmm. and that's that perception. We think people who are really great public speakers are very removed, disconnected. And it's funny that you say that about the nerves, mm-hmm. because I remember I saw someone come to the stage, and I thought, oh, this person's a really great public speaker. And it was interesting because they were holding a piece of paper and their hand was shaking so violently.
Right.
But nobody could see that other than those of us who were really close to her on the stage. And I thought, wow, that was, you know, for me to see that, I thought, okay, this is someone who does this, you know, a lot and it still is impacting them.
Yeah. So this is great. I'm glad you brought that up, Leanne. So it is a big myth that when someone's excellent at speaking, is this that they don't feel anything or that this was never difficult for them. They're just rising to the occasion.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is two things. We're seeing their experience come to play, their preparation most likely. And then the other thing that we're seeing is that they have also learn to manage the nerves and fear that come with public speaking. And so it's not that they don't feel it, it's that they know how to manage it and interact with it, and they have a lot of trust in themselves. So think about someone like Taylor Swift. You know, like you have to imagine that there's some rush that she experiences before she gets on stage and performs for as many people as she has been performing for lately. There must be some, but she has worked her way up there where she can manage that pressure and she can manage those nerves. And we've all seen clips where things go wrong and she can manage them.
Right.
So she has a lot of trust in herself. And this is all things that we can build in ourselves. And I wanted to, you mentioned care, and I want to jump on that because I think that's a big thing. Like, let's dial into the fact that our nerves show us that we care and that this is important to us. And they actually give us energy so that we can do the thing that's important to us. Now, sometimes it's like obvious, you're pitching your business, you're trying to get money for it. It makes sense that you would get nervous and that you care about that. And you're like, why am I getting nervous before my weekly work presentation about these garbage numbers that I don't care about? And the sense of care there, I think, comes from another myth about public speaking or sort of an ingrained fear, which is that when we public speak, we think that there's so much more on the line than there is. We think that public speaking puts at risk our status quo. So it's not that you care about necessarily the material you're presenting. You care about your reputation. You care about having shelter and food to eat, and you don't want to do anything that would put that at risk. If you go to work and I'm not saying this is accurate, but this is the thought process that a lot of people have, is that they present poorly at work, they get deemed unprofessional, they may lose their job, or they may not be up for promotion. And so that's where that care comes from, is that all that risk that we've attached to public speaking.
So that's like the stories we tell ourselves, right?
Yes.
So you play out this whole narrative and story. So then that's where the fear comes in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Well, okay. This is a bit. So the stories are probably, you know, the biggest part that I think prevents people from being good public speakers. So a lot of advice that I would give to anyone listening is sit down with yourself, and you need to think through what you actually think is going to happen, because that is often you'll discover how odd your thought process is. Like, a lot of people think that their boss is going to stand up and say, like, that was terrible.
Right?
You're out of here. Or, you know, less ridiculous is this idea that you get a promotion, you speak, you're going to reveal that, you know, you're not made for this role.
Right.
But what you're completely eliminating is the fact that the people that hired you understand that you're going to grow into that role. They're not expecting you to come out swinging and be where you're going to be in 2 to 5 years. There's another big aspect of fear too, which is what I'm discovering about why I love working in public speaking. And that is this idea that, you know, really when it comes to public speaking, why it can be so challenging is because it often brings to the surface some of our deepest fears about ourselves. So often, you know, we have sort of a deep secret about ourselves. Like, if people knew I was like this, they wouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And then we have this idea that if we speak, we're so visible that people are going to see right through us, and they're going to see right to that secret too.
Yeah, to our core, right?
To our core. Right. Yes, exactly. Right? And so there's two things here. One is that's almost like amazing, because now we can understand what our core fear is, and we can start working on it. And then the second thing that I want to say is that public speaking doesn't work that way.
People don't make us like transparent.
Yeah. And like, so Leanne, we spent all that time in the course together where you were like very vulnerable with me. And then we've like seen each other a few times. I would not be like, I know Leanne. I know, like, I could predict what she's going to do. I understand her character.
Yeah.
Right. That's not how it works. So people aren't going to see you speak once and then be like, you know what? I think she's afraid she's unlovable. And she might be right.
And her, core issue is abandonment.
Yeah.
Her childhood wound is, or now all the psychology around everything. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, people think that you can get inside. If I public speak, you have now like tapped into every vulnerability, insecurity that I have, because I'm putting myself out there, which is obviously
because it
false.
Feels so vulnerable. And so what I try to encourage people is to remember that, well, it's our voice and our thoughts and our words, it's our bodies. It is not us.
Right.
It is a skill that we have, and it's a skill that we develop. So just in the same way that people can't see into your soul when you play soccer for the first time, when you do a bad ball, and most likely I would also encourage anyone listening to think about when you've witnessed a speaker who's uncomfortable.
Right.
Is often you think, oh, I, you know, this, oh, this is so challenging them. I wonder if they had a hard day, or I wonder if someone's in the audience making them nervous. You never jump to core abandonment, right? Fears.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. And, I know anytime I watch someone struggle, I just feel bad for them. That you're always like, oh my goodness, you just feel really bad when someone's struggling when they're trying to speak publicly.
Yeah. Your compassion comes up.
Of course. Yeah. And that brings me up to one thing, also, that was a big revelation for me, was when you told us about the audience is on your side. And I was like, what? That was like, I don't know. I had this like belief that the audience was out to get me, wanting me to fail. And I'm sure you've heard that many, many times.
Yeah. It's a huge one. And to be honest, I had that too. When I would step in front of a crowd, I felt they were sitting back, judging me, waiting for me to impress them, and then they would like me. And then it's the opposite. And think about any time that you've been in a situation where someone's coming up to speak. Or like even turning on this podcast, did you go, I hope this sucks and is a waste of my right? time. Like, nobody enters a situation hoping for that or reserving their judgment. They're hoping the experience will be good because it is their time and attention.
Right? Yeah. I don't know why we go to the, I guess there's, that's again, psychology. There's the human nature where we automatically assume the worst. I'm going to stand up in front of a crowd and this crowd just can't wait to see me fail. That was always the natural assumption that I went to until I took your course.
Yeah.
And then it's now when I get up, and I have to tell you, this is, you were asking me before about sort of what my journey's been like. And I've progressed to the point that I just recently, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I did a press conference for the organization I work with, and they scrummed me after, which is like, if anybody knows anything about scrumming yeah. with the media, I was like, whoa, that's a very stressful like yes. place to be. And it was fantastic. I thought actually that was much easier for me to do than just standing up and giving a speech, because the media was asking me a bunch of questions and I found it like it went really well. And that would have been my worst nightmare yeah. prior to having taken your course, because I was prepared. I knew, you know, I had answers sort of figured out in my head a little bit beforehand as to maybe what some of the questions were. And I also knew I trusted myself, and I knew if I made a mistake, it wasn't going to be something that was, you know, going to be the end of the world. Right. So yeah, that's how far I've come. So.
Well, amazing, and congratulations, Lane, because I think a while ago that you just would have been stuck in the threat response in it too, right?
Completely.
Like, it felt so threatening, that situation.
Yeah.
So the thing I'd like to highlight for everyone is that, like, for you, nothing changed in your ability. Nothing changed in your competence in your job. All you changed was how you viewed that situation, which then helped you prepare properly. And then you just execute it. Like, that's it. And that's as simple yeah. as public speaking can be.
Correct.
It's just that sometimes it becomes much more difficult because of all the stories and fear that we have around it.
Right. And I think I'd like you to talk a little bit more about preparation, because I think that is probably one of the biggest keys that you reinforced with us when
yeah.
you took the course.
You know, what's interesting. Yeah, this is, I feel like this, I say this every time. But I gotta say it again. It's like, we don't show up to run a marathon and go, oh gee, I hope I'm good at marathons. And then when it's over, I guess I'm not. Right? But that's what we do with public speaking, is that we think that it should just be something that comes out of us.
Naturally.
We should just
naturally be good at it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even the people that we see that are, they put in the work. They put yeah. in preparation, or they have a lot of experience. People who can organize their thoughts and articulate them well off the cuff have been doing that frequently. It isn't just their first time just jumping and doing something like that. And so that's the harm when we see public speakers and we think they're just rising to the occasion. They are not. They're putting in a lot of effort. There was a great part in the book Grit by Angela Duckworth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where she writes, and it's like 2.5 pages, her preparation for her TED Talk, all the things that she had to do after the producers told her it wasn't good enough. And in the end, I mean, such a great end to the story is that she does the TED Talk and it goes viral. But if she'd done the first one and she hadn't put in all the effort to get ready, it wouldn't be. And so I also want to say, it's not magic. Like, preparation is not magic. It's honestly, it's sitting down, getting those slides ready or preparing your points and then articulating them out loud. And if you're a very nervous speaker, do it in front of a human being. Like someone you trust, because that's going to mimic the nerves and fear that are going to come up. And so it's going to help you learn how to manage those. That's it. Like, it's not some sort of secret process that only good speakers know. It's just putting in some effort.
That's really great advice. I think that's wonderful. I think one of the things you do really well, and this has to do with social media, is the vulnerability piece. I guess one thing I'd like to back up a little bit more, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your journey of how you got to being a public speaking coach, because I know that's not what you were doing before.
Right. Yeah. Well, especially, I feel like I invented it. Like, I don't know. Well, sorry, there are some out there. It's not like the most absurd thing, but yeah. So It's one of those things where it's like everything in my life now makes sense because it all led me to this thing.
Love that.
But about 12 years ago, I was working in theater and then I got a side job in commercial radio. And they hire you out to do MC gigs all the time. Or not hire you out. They send you out into the community. It's great. But I had been in front of audiences before, but as a character. And I'd been on the radio, but no one can see my face. I'm completely hidden. So I was really amazed at how I fell apart when I was asked to be myself in front of an audience. And then so frequently, like it's like once a week you're getting up in front of a crowd to MC an event or to participate in something. And I was losing a day a week to fear and dread.
Oh, like, pre...
Oh, all day? Right? And
where
I couldn't focus?
You can't sleep and you can't anything.
Yeah. And then just also like, oh, I'd never know what to wear. And I'd just be like fretting and I'd be arriving 5 seconds before I begin. Like just all of it.
Yeah.
And then I'd muscle my way through it. And then it was over, regret, like immediately, guilt, regret. Oh, I shouldn't have said this, or I look dumb, why did I say that? And then also, why was that so hard for me? And so that was just, and I was doing that one day a week. And so finally, I just thought, like, enough. I cannot go on. I've got too much else to do. And so I started just trying things from, it's so funny, I don't think I ever read a public speaking book. But because, like, when I Googled it online, the advice was all like, put your hands on your hair, right?
Like stand differently. Use the triangle pose or use this.
Yeah, that's right. And walk in the triangle. Yeah. And I'm like, that doesn't resolve what's happening inside of me. So I've always been a big fan of self-help. And then my dad was, he was a counselor at the community clinic here in Saskatoon for 30 years. And so he raised me using cognitive behavioral therapy. Yep. So I like a lot of stuff my dad taught me. I started just applying it directly to public speaking. First thing was it just accepting how I felt, which was revolutionary, instead of fighting it or wishing it away or having stories about it. And then the other big thing that had to change was how I talked to myself. And so I got through both those. And then what started happening is when I was able to do that, then I started being able to say yes to other opportunities. So then I continued in theater for a long time, but then I put forward my name, got a job at CBC, and then started backfilling some of their radio shows and their TV weather, said yes to doing sideline reporting on television for sports that I didn't know anything about. And then that's gone, like taking me lots of places, including national television. So it's been amazing. But what I notice is just people around me are saying, I don't like I'm struggling with this too, or like, this is a problem for me. And I always say that people ask me for advice, but I think mainly I was like, let me help you. I insist on helping you. But some nonprofits, they started asking me to come in. Can you talk to our staff? And so I started there. And then so interesting is that the catalyst was really the pandemic, because I had kind of made my living through doing like 5 different jobs, and then I lost 3 overnight. And then I just knew I wanted to do this. And it was like, I had to do it online, which was such a simpler solution than trying to rent a venue. That was so much less intimidating. So then I started doing these talks that I had prepared. I started doing them, you know, like virtually. And then people really liked them. And I thought, well, why don't I build a course out of this? Like, I could do a 4-part course. And then from there, it's like, now it's not 4 sessions, it's 10 sessions. And there's 2.5 hours of video, and I've written a handbook, and so it's just really snowballed in a great way.
And that's what you do pretty much full time now, right?
Yeah.
Like, is your coaching.
Yes, I had to give up CBC, which I was sad about. I did like working there, but I had to give it up because it's been too full. And so I still do sideline reporting sometimes just for fun, but also to challenge myself, because I think that I need to be in the arena too. Like,
Good for you. I need
to be tested.
Yeah.
And meet challenges so I can continue to develop my own skill of public speaking.
And that's like opened up different doors, right? Because I saw like you've done some stuff for national television now, and done like some sports.
Yes.
Which I think is really great.
Now I can get body slammed by basketball players.
I was gonna say, I saw that.
Not just social media.
Yeah,
not just regular. Not just like webcasts. Yeah.
So it's so interesting how, you know, you take your career in a different, you take that chance. Which is great.
Yeah.
And then it opens up all kinds of doors for you,
which
is amazing.
It's all worked out. And now I do think I found where I'm supposed to be, because I was always comfortable taking the stage, But it wasn't, that's not actually what fuels me. Being of service fuels me. So helping move people along and move them forward in their career. Like, people come through my program can often take a promotion that they couldn't take before. Right. Or this one woman just emailed me. She's like, I'm going in for job interview Monday using all your techniques. So it's just like, it's nice that people can do what they want. And I want to help people.
Yeah. And I think one of the most important things that you do is that when people can't use their voice, they miss out on so many opportunities. And I think especially women.
Yeah.
And we have all these stories in our head, then if we can get these tools and get our message across, then that's going to make, you know, so much difference. And I think that's what's so important about what you do.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, it's such a great point. And what's fascinating to me is the beautiful, bright minds that come and find me that are locked behind this fear. Like, all these people we're not hearing from because they're afraid. And that is, they're so competent and they're so good at their jobs, and often they've gone absolutely as far as they can without public speaking. Like, they push it as far,
totally,
and then they
get
there. They're like, I can't go any further. So, and then what's beautiful is, like, I bring these people together from all around the world. There's 8 people together, and they look at each other and they're saying, oh, you but you're amazing,
right?
Why do you have this problem? Which helps them so much, because I think that fear of public speaking often is, there's shame associated with it, as well as a lot of isolation.
What, for sure. Yeah. There is a shame, because you think, I'm a professional, or I've achieved this status, or I have this many degrees, or I've done this, accomplished that, and yet this is my, like, Achilles heel.
Yes.
I can't do this well. And again, we feel like it's something that we should do naturally. So it goes back kind of to what we talked about before.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to the podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, by Dr. Maya Shankar. There was a Dr. Ayelet Fishback, and it was the Science of Motivation. So she actually had her on her podcast also. Okay. But the one thing she was talking about is that it's easier to learn from other people's failure. And so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, because I think that you do that so well on social media.
Right.
You put yourself out there. You're unfiltered. And I think that really contributes to your success, because you're really vulnerable. And I think that really appeals to people. And she talks about that a lot in this particular podcast. Mm-hmm. And when I was listening to it, I thought of you immediately. And I was like, I was like thinking about the one that you put on about spell check. And that it was never pubic.
Yeah, I'll never mean pubic
speaking. And I was like, you're so authentic and honest. And I think people really appreciate that, because you talk about your successes, but you also equally talk about your failures. And that is not something we find a lot in this, especially on social media, mm-hmm. where it is so, like, it's always the good parts, right? And I think you really stand out by doing that. And I really believe that's why people relate to you so well. And I feel like that is just a really gift. It's a really big gift you give to everyone.
Thanks, Leah. You know what's funny is when you mentioned that you wanted to talk about vulnerability, and we got onto other stuff, and I was like, we might.
No, and then I'm like, I'm like coming back to that. The whole time through when I was like researching and preparing for this podcast, I'm like, that to me is one of your greatest gifts.
Well, so I want to talk, like, let's have a vulnerable conversation about this.
I would love to.
I do think I can be vulnerable sometimes. And then other times it's challenging for me. I do think that there are some ways I'm still growing into my own voice. In some ways I've actually shut it down so much I don't even realize that I'm blocking myself from thinking or sharing something. So I'll get into that more in a second, but I just acknowledge what you said. So a lot of people come to me because they can feel themselves in their journey and my journey. And what was hilarious is that the other night I was having a big breakdown about this area of my life that has nothing to do with public speaking.
Yeah.
Where it was like I could see the work I needed to do, but I wasn't willing to take the steps because it required so much courage and I had so much self-doubt. And I was having this big cry and I was saying to my boyfriend, I feel like a fraud because here I am telling people in this area that's scary for them, like, these are the steps you have to take, do this. And I usher them through that process. And here I am in my own personal life trying to fix this or go through this and I can't make myself. And he was just like, you know, I actually think it's the fact that you feel so much self-doubt that makes you not a fraud, because I can climb into that feeling with people, which
absolutely
made me feel better. And also, I think I was quite stuck on that thing in my personal life, so I feel like a little less stuck. But yeah, so vulnerable. You know, it's interesting. So I shared this story the other day on my Instagram, which I hadn't told before, which was talking about how I didn't take someone's advice about getting up on stage. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yes, okay. I did. Yep.
And so this woman had told me, like, I was running a company with someone for 8 years, and she was like, you can't just let him speak. Like, you need to be getting up in front of people. And I said, no, he thanks me when he's up there. And she's like, no, you get up there and you thank him. And I didn't take that advice. And then we were at this event and our company was being recognized and we were sitting next to each other and they just asked him to stand. And I remember leaving that venue and I was crying in my car and I was trying to explain to him why it wasn't okay what happened. But there was should have been equal credit there. And I thought, you know, my name is not getting attached to all this work. And that's not okay, because I want to move forward in my career. I want opportunities to come my way too. So I shared that story on my Instagram and I was so surprised, like, because I felt that sometimes when I feel this, like, oh, I don't want to share this, it feels too vulnerable. I'm scared someone who knows about us might attack me. Like, that's not how it happened. Or some people might be like, oh, all these feminists. Like, I feel like I'm like going to get attacked. And then it wasn't like that at all. And a lot of people were saying, you know, like, this
me
is...
Me too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Or like, this is a really good call to action for me. Or
yeah.
I had one woman just came and signed up for my program. She's like, I got to deal with this. Like, I can't let someone else keep getting credit.
I was going to say, I'm sure when I heard that story, I thought, I bet you there are so many women out there who are like, I can completely relate to that, where I've just let... Well, I just think about it even in, like, not even in a career situation, but just in life in general, how many times we let someone else speak for us or take the credit for us or subdue our voices. I think about myself. I'm one of those people who is a lot quieter and I often don't share my opinion because I'm just like, oh, it's just fine. I don't need to voice my opinion. So I can appreciate that. So I feel like that resonates on so many levels with women. How we just, you know, it's just easier sometimes to just be like, oh yeah, you know, I don't have to say anything. And that's what I'm talking about, that vulnerability where you're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting when you said that, how you felt like maybe all these, like, someone's going to come out and say it didn't happen that way. Like, so all those, you were trying to sort of think about the possibilities of what some of the reactions might be and in a negative way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I find that really interesting that you had to pause and think about that, but the fact that you moved forward with it anyway, that to me is like, that's great. That shows that you're willing to keep putting yourself out there. And I'm sure there's times where you do get negative comments or you get feedback that isn't what you'd expect or what you want, but you still keep showing up.
Yeah.
And I think that's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, I hope to, I think you said it right there, Liam, where you're thinking, like, which just, it's almost habitual to just not say anything. And I think one of the things that we're still trying to train ourselves out of that habit because the world is different now and we're allowed to call things out.
Right.
And we're allowed to speak up or say, like, that makes me uncomfortable. Right. And that really wasn't, I was reflecting on some of the things that, you know, like my first day in a job and my boss pulled me into his lap for a photo. Like, just, but like, that's one moment of 100 yep. that I've experienced over my career. But now we don't just go, ha,
right?
We can say, yeah, I don't think so, buddy. Like, this isn't happening, right? And, you know, you if you don't understand why that's wrong, someone's going to tell you why that's wrong.
Right.
Going to get you some help. And so that's been, yeah, so it's still, I'm still shedding those habits. I feel like probably by the time I'm like, Jamie Lee Curtis or Jane Bond or like one of those, then I'm going to be like, I'm saying it all. I got no blocks left. Yeah.
I'm getting there. I'm like, I'm getting there. I keep calling it the great unlearning.
Yeah.
Because we have to unlearn all these behaviors that we've been taught since we were like, well, you know, like it's just been ingrained in us so deeply.
Yes.
That we're unlearning.
Yeah.
And learning to use our voice. So what you're doing, the work you're doing, I think is incredible. And like I said, and I know you have men and women and that your course is open to everyone, mm-hmm. but I really believe it's so impactful for women to learn yeah. to use their voice. Yeah, and I would highly recommend your course to anyone. It really has impacted my
Great.
Life. Yeah, so if someone wants to start showing up in social media and they're not sure how to start or not sure what to do, what would you recommend?
Yeah, okay, so, oh man. Get, like it's almost like you just got to build some calluses up, okay? So
okay.
Or think about your butt when you ride a bike.
Yeah.
And when you first get on that bike for the season, a 20-minute ride is going to hurt a lot. But like if you ride your bike very often, you can go 3 hours and you're not going to be butt
so
hurt.
True, right? That's very okay. true.
So, social media is like that too. Like you're going to wear down the pain that it causes you by just showing up. But I would say like have very reasonable expectations of yourself. The best plan is the plan that you will actually do. And then just what I say is like always climb the ladder of fear. If your hope is to just put out a reel a day where you're talking or showing your face and that's super frightening to you right now, let's start with a photo of you on your stories. And then once that, as I said, that pain goes away, then go to talking on your stories or just a video of you silent on your stories with text over top. And because stories disappear, it makes it easier. And then just keep climbing and eventually it will get easier. I remember, you know, like it used to be so frightening to me and now I just routinely send things off into the void. I think that often the blocks around showing up are a lot of fears that have to do actually not much with public speaking, but one of the biggest with social media I fear is that we don't actually want to be seen. So it's like, I have this too. If I show up and attract clients, I'll have to actually sell my product.
Oh, interesting.
I'll have to actually work with someone. And that's terrifying to me because what if I fail them? So how I overcame that was one, working with people. Like I always suggest when people come to me and they want to start some type of business that involves coaching, do someone for free, like coach someone for free because it's going to build your confidence. You're also going to learn what they want and what they want to hear from you. And then the second thing is also just take a hard look at yourself and who are you and who are you as a worker? When I'm at my best when my back is up against a wall, like that's when I get scrappy. And I will go over the top for my clients. I know that. Like I'm truly invested in their success. And so once I had that in my heart and I had a mantra of I will not fail you, then that was like me talking to my ideal client. I will not fail you. It made it so much easier to just get up and show up on social media because I wanted people to come to me. I wanted to help them. I was ready. So that's a huge part of it.
So I think too, what you're saying is like also kind of be prepared. This is my ideal client and this is the product that I'm also selling.
Yeah.
So that also will help you feel more confident when you're putting yourself out there on social media, right?
Yeah, and having some proof of concept. So like the product has actually helped somebody. Because I will tell you actually, if you get on social media and you solve a problem for people and you are so clear and direct, like you speak to that niche and you stay in that niche, you're going to attract people faster than you are ready for, and they're going to want your help. And so you have to be ready with your products and services decided. Because I have had that where I've, like I recently was coaching a photography client, and she was doing great, but I said, listen, you're not talking to the right person. Like, you're talking to models. Talk to the photographers about how to coach the models. She made this, like, small change, and then now all of a sudden she's got more than 10,000 people. People want mentorships from her. People want products from her. And it's like, oh my gosh, we need to be ready to serve these people, right?
Right.
So slow growth is actually a wonderful thing. Like, if you're staying around there with, like, 500 people, but you're actually getting clients and you're helping people, that's a great thing. Because then once you start really pushing it and you explode, you're going to know how you want to help those people. It's all great. Like, I almost grew too quickly. I'm a year in. I have almost 100,000 followers. I'm finally figuring out how I can serve these people in the best way. Right. I wish I had those products ready, because then it was just funneling people to the program, but I can only teach so many of those at the same time.
Right.
So a lot of lost opportunity there. So I don't know. Just be patient with yourself and know that it all works out.
That's great advice. And I love that. I think that that's really important to reiterate, slow growth, because we're all so impatient and we think we have to have, like you said, you know, so many followers and we have to have so many clients.
Well, and I think part of that is that we're sold this idea. We're sold this idea that you can create digital products and you can sell them from your home and you can be rich and you can retire to your husband.
Like, and you're going to retire in 6 months and you're going to be,
you can travel the world when you do it and your kids never pee the bed. So, like, you know, like, it's just magic. So,
and you'll only work like one day every 6 months and you're going to be on a beach.
And it's not how it works at all. Like, there's so many steps to doing it that are like valuable and build your skill set and build your confidence in yourself. But like, even just this week, I had a conversation with someone that I booked as a corporate client, which means like I bulk sell my program to a corporation, which is excellent. To get into like the conversation was completely comfortable for me, but I had to go through a year of uncomfortable conversations or being rejected and learning about how I actually want to sell this and what works best for people. How do I articulate the best so that to get ready to just have that moment where I make that big sale. And I don't even think of it as a sale even. Like, to me, I'm just like, this is just part of the business as it moves over. Like, I'm not like, okay, now it's beach time, right? This is just a thing that I do. But I wasn't ready to have that conversation maybe even 3 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, I've still been building my own ability as someone who runs a business. So, like, there's nothing wrong with slow growth.
Yeah, you're right. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.